Well, good afternoon. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that is going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, right now, of course, we ask you to hold your calls, although you can reach us down the line at right here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we have with us on the line Major Rocky. He was in the military for a while. He was actually involved when the Army commissioned him to look into the background of decontamination in the areas where the depleted uranium had been used during the first Gulf War. Well, I'm going to let him tell you this story. Would you like to get in the background of depleted uranium? Were you you were a military officer?
Yes, I was. I was a U.S. Army health physicist, and I was specifically assigned to clean up the uranium contamination following Gulf War I. Depleted uranium was used by the United States and British during Gulf War I with tremendous effectiveness, but it also resulted in tremendous casualties.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now we're told that there's nothing to worry about. Depleted uranium is completely harmless. You know, it can't hurt anybody. You can pick it up. There's no danger from it.
Yeah, that's the story that the United States Department of Defense and the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs would like you to believe. But we need to think about this for a moment. Uranium munitions are actually solid uranium-238. They're contaminated with plutonium, neptunium, and americium. And on impact with any vehicle, they form not what we call spalling. And the spalling is fine particles from very fine particles on up to anything the size of marbles. So for each and every round fired by an Abrams tank, that round weighs over 10 pounds of solid uranium per round.
Now, I think it's important that people understand this is the uranium that's left over after it's been mined, and then, of course, they've taken the uranium-235 out, and then what's left is the uranium-238. Am I right, or do I have it backwards?
You're pretty much correct. For every 100 pounds of solid uranium that we have that's put into the enrichment process, we have 99.2 pounds of uranium-238, and 0.8 pounds is the fissionable component, that's uranium-234 and 235.
Right.
Upon completion of the enrichment process, we're able to remove 0.6 pounds of uranium-234, 235, fissionable component. And then that leaves uranium-238 plus still a small fraction of the fissionable component, uranium-234 and 235, there in place.
All right, fine. Now, of course, the depleted uranium is left over from the fuel rods or from the manufacturer of the fuel rods?
It's left over from both.
All right, fine. So, but anyway, they've got a lot of it. And what would they do with it if they didn't put it onto our shelves, up into our shelves? Wouldn't it be very difficult to dispose of?
Absolutely. The United States Department of Energy has probably got well over 700,000 metric tons of the uranium-238. And we need to clarify, they call it depleted uranium, but there's nothing depleted about it. Okay, that's just kind of a misnomer that was put on, so I think we should just call it what it is, actually uranium-238 isotope uranium munitions.
We're going to have to interrupt you here for a minute. We're going to have to bring some other stations on board, so we'll be back in just a minute. Should I call you Major Rocky, or what should we call you?
My name's Doug.
Pardon?
My name's Doug.
All right, Doug. We'll call you Doug. We'll be right back here with Doug in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Major Doug Rocky. He was a health physicist working for the military. And, of course, it was his job, of course, to analyze and clean up the depleted uranium that was left over from the Gulf War. Now, I was looking at your website today, and I understood that you had a contingent of men with you who are working with you trying to clean up this depleted uranium.
That is correct. When we got the task, and this probably needs to clarify the story, when I got sent over to the Persian Gulf in December of 1990, I had never heard of uranium munitions. Okay, this is some 23 years after I came in the military, and I'd never heard of it. And I received a letter in the U.S. mail from a Colonel Charles Day in the middle of December of 1990 in Saudi Arabia that said, we need to start thinking about the health and environmental effects of uranium munitions if we use them in combat. And I go, what are these? I'd never heard of them before.
Now, but you've been in the military for 23 years.
Yeah, I came in the military in 1967, so I had been in and out of the military for 23 years, and I still had never heard of uranium munitions. And what I found out when I started investigating is hardly anybody else had either.
In other words, this was something that was in our bombs, it was in our shells, it was in artillery shells, it was in the anti-tank weapons. And, of course, it's very, very tough. It's very heavy. It's very, it's much heavier than lead. Go right through a tank. But when it does, doesn't it burn and explode and release all this uranium dust? Isn't that it?
Well, yeah, basically, the uranium round is basically a gigantic pencil or a gigantic rod of uranium. The Abrams tank fires a single round that's approximately 10 pounds of solid uranium per round. Then the A-10 Warthog aircraft fires a round that is slightly around 3/4 of a pound of solid uranium per round. And the A-10 fires at a rate of up to 4,000 rounds a minute, or 1.5 tons of uranium per minute on a target. And when this stuff impacts, it comes out of the gun bore, the gun tube, whatever you want to call that, and it immediately catches fire when it's flying through the air. And when the uranium rod hits anything, it can be a tank, it can be a truck, a car, a building, it can be a bunker, sandbag bunker. Part of the uranium, about 40%, flakes off. It'd be like whittling away at a piece of pine with your pocket knife. And that uranium that comes off is now flying at extremely high velocity. It's all on fire. And anything that it comes
in... We're going to have to interrupt you here. We've got to bring one more station back on board, and we'll be right back with you here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and here we have Doug Rocky with us, and he was a major, he was a physicist, he was in the military for 26 years when he was assigned to go to the Persian Gulf in December of 1990, just before the Gulf War, actually, the combat actually began. And his job was to see and study the danger of radiation exposure to our troops and to the civilians with the massive use of this depleted uranium in our shells and our bombs. And, of course, everything has been done by the government to cover up the truth. Do you think they're going to admit that they knew that they were poisoning our boys and the civilians any more than they'd admit that they, that they knew that the Agent Orange that we used in Vietnam was going to produce all sorts of birth defects and cancer and leukemia and all things? So, no, of course, when did the government last tell the truth? The trouble is we have almost 200,000 sick veterans from the Gulf War. And we have sick veterans from Bosnia and from Kosovo because of the massive contamination there. But nobody's talking about that. It's amazing the degree of control they have with the media. So why don't you pick up the story from there, Doug?
Okay. What happened is when we found out about the health and environmental effects, and this is firsthand because our team was tasked to go in and clean up the mess. This is right after the completion of ground war in March of 1991. We got up there within 72 hours. Myself and our team members started getting sick. The health effects on the casualties, respiratory problems and rashes started almost immediately. And we directed that medical care be provided for all DU casualties. Again, that's United States friendly fire, because during Gulf War I, the majority of U.S. deaths and injuries were due to friendly fire from uranium munitions. So we shot our own up, and that's, again, what we just did in Gulf War II. We got up there, and it took our team 3 months to clean up 24 vehicles and ship those back to the United States and to bury about another dozen vehicles in Saudi Arabia because they were too contaminated and too destroyed to remove.
Now, these were our vehicles. What about the Iraqi vehicles? Because there were a lot of those there that were contaminated too, weren't there?
Absolutely. Thousands upon thousands of those. And in 1992, in the fall of 1992, after we had returned, the colonel that I worked for, very specifically during Gulf War II, another professor at the University of Illinois and that had a lot of experience in the military, he was also at that time a major, we were tasked by the U.S. State Department to prepare the cleanup plan to clean up Kuwait, Iraq, Saudi Arabia from all the uranium munitions. And we did. And we shipped that cleanup plan back through the U.S. Army, through the U.S. State Department. And what they did is they hired CMS International out of Florida and Dick Cheney's company, Brown and Root, out of Texas, to clean up the mess.
I thought he was Halliburton. Is Brown and Root part of Halliburton?
Brown and Root is definitely part of Halliburton.
All right, fine. Well, now, how do you clean up depleted uranium? And, you know, that's pretty hard to do, isn't it?
Well, that's what we found out. In 1994 and 1995, I was recalled to active duty again by directive of the Army and Congress and the U.S. Senate and everybody in the United States General Accounting Office to go in to develop the cleanup procedures for uranium munitions, to develop the education and training required for all military and government personnel that come in contact with this, and also just look at what really happened. And over that 15-month period, we conducted extensive research both in the laboratory and out at the Nevada test site in Mercury, Nevada, which is about 100 miles northwest of Las Vegas. And in this test, I blew and burned everything up, U.S. vehicles, enemy vehicles with uranium munitions, to find out what would happen. And what we learned from this result, and this is what the government doesn't want out, is the contamination is so extensive that any individual has to wear full respiratory and skin protection within 50 meters. That's over 150 feet of any single contaminated vehicle. And the contamination extends out to over 1,200 feet around a single vehicle. And the only way to clean it up is to physically remove the entire destroyed vehicle, pick up all of the spent penetrators, because, again, this 10-pound penetrator, you lose about four pounds or 5 pounds of this in the spalling, the dust and everything, but you still have another 5 to 6 pounds of it left as a solid rod. And then you have to take a bulldozer and go down to about 4 inches, out to about 100 feet, and dispose of all of that contaminated soil.
And what do? Just bury it someplace?
Well, correct. I mean, that's what you'd have to do, is find a gigantic hole and bury it. But then you have the significant problem. What happens in the future? What happens when you bury that contamination there, and in 20 years, a kid sets up a playground over it?
All right. Well, now, what happened to the men who were with you in the Gulf War?
Well, what happened to the men that were with us in the Gulf War, first off...
I'm talking
myself,
about your unit.
Correct. Myself and my other team members, we started getting sick within 72 hours. We were wearing respiratory and skin protection gas masks. Okay, we had NIC suits in. And those are specifically designed clothing for radiation work. Okay, it keeps the particulates off. And we started getting respiratory and skin problems right away. Even though I specifically directed medical care for the friendly fire casualties, they never received the medical care either. Okay? And then our team and everybody, we came back to the States. We tried to get a post-deployment, or when you come back and get out of the military, a physical exam to look at your health status and what's happened to you. And the military refused to do it. Now, we have had multiple direct orders issued as early, during the war, I issued the order for medical care for all DU casualties. That's all friendly fire, all the cleanup team. We issued the order in June of 1991 officially from the U.S. Central Command ran the war to do medical care for everybody. Followed up again by in January of 1993 and June of 1993, August of 1993, and then in October of 1993, a medical directive was specifically issued that stated, "Thou shalt provide medical care and a radio bioassay within 24 hours. And they never happened. As you probably have heard, the briefings from the Pentagon just in the last few weeks saying, well, we're giving medical care to 70 people or maybe 90 people. Well, that's an absolute lie. What's happened to our team members is cancers developed within 9 months and additional ones and deaths within 2 to 3 years.
How many of you, the men in your, how many men were with you at the time?
Well, it's real hard to put a direct figure on that because it was a whole bunch of combined units working together in different parts of it. But there's just way too many of them have died and dead.
I mean, but weren't there, what were the people with you? You were you had a lot of physical illnesses, and you still have, don't you?
Absolutely. Our whole team does. Everybody does.
But what were there, 50 or 100 people with you?
Well, it's real hard to put a number on it. When you look at the official report that was sent up to the Presidential Oversight Board in September of 1998, they identified 424 people total.
All right, fine.
With high levels of exposures. And at that time, they had notified of a little over 100 people. And as they have stated, you know, just in the last few recent weeks, they're providing medical care to about 90 of us. Well, they include me in that 90 because I'm in it. But I can guarantee you we're not getting the medical care. And so what happened is we had individuals that developed cancers and died. Then we have eye problems, you got respiratory problems, you got the rash problems, you got, the cataracts, you got the neurological problems. Everything that you see from a combination heavy metal poisoning and radiological exposure.
Now, what sort of cancers were they getting? Were they getting leukemias, lymphomas? What sort of cancers?
Well, on our team, what was lymphomas?
Lymphomas, okay.
Absolutely lymphomas.
Because this is very, very commonly associated with radiological injury. So basically, of course, it pretty well wipes out your immune system. The lymphomas come along and, of course, get them. And do we have any idea? I mean, are we talking out of this 400 people, maybe 20, 30 lymphomas, 10, 5?
I don't know. It's a real hard figure to put in because one of the problems we ran into is that the individuals were refused medical care.
In other words, the government really doesn't want you to find out.
They don't want you to find out because, again, we're looking at a written directive to conduct a radiobioassay that was issued right away after the war, okay, and then was reissued formally for the whole Department of Defense in October of 93.
Now, who issued that?
Well, the Department of Defense did. Basically, we're looking at a direct order from the secretary.
All right, fine. But then it didn't get done, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, and it's not done to this day.
All right.
So again, it's the same thing that's what's been happening. So we have the uranium munitions. We found out that it's almost extremely impossible to clean them up. We found out that the Geiger counters and the radiacs that are readily available for the most people are not going to find the contamination.
Well, why not? Why won't the Geiger counters pick it up?
Well, the Geiger counters are generally made for beta and gamma type emissions. And this is an alpha, beta, and gamma and some X-ray emissions, but it's primarily on alpha emissions. And so what you have to have is a very specific type of Geiger counter. You have to have a very specific type of probe. And then the other thing you have to have is you have to know very specific techniques that you can use to measure for the radioactivity. Now, in this contaminated equipment, you got to understand, we don't just have radioactive contamination. I have all kinds of unexploded ordnance, which means bombs that go off, go boom, and I have body parts. So I have biological contamination. So this is not just like a standard physicist goes out and he says he sees some contamination on a desk or on the floor and he goes over there and stands with his Geiger counter and measures it. You try to do that in this condition, you're going to get dead real fast. In fact, three of my guys got killed at Camp Doha in the summer of 1991 while they were trying to clean up the uranium contamination due to a fire at that giant storage facility.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a couple of moments with Doug Rocky, and of course we'll welcome your calls when we get back at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. How many Gulf War veterans from the first Gulf War do you think are ill today? The government, of course, denied that the disease existed at all. Recently they admitted 20,000. I think it's closer to 200. What do you think?
Well, the United States Department of Veteran Affairs, in a report issued in September 10th.
You're going to have to hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I just want to mention some of the items that we have here at Radio Liberty. First of all, if you feel sort of run down and you'd like to have more in the way of energy, one of the things that really seems to help many, many people is Be Alive Royal Jelly products. And Be Alive Royal Jelly, of course, has been known and used for many, many years to help people get more in the way of energy. And it's simply a capsule you take every day. I've taken it for about 10 years, so I feel fairly comfortable recommending it. Basically, it's what the queen bee eats. If you'd like to know more about Be Alive Royal Jelly, call 866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. And, of course, if you take it for 3 months and you don't feel any better, you just call 866-233-7500, and they'll give you your money back. It's a good product, and I think you'll enjoy it. Then there's going to be a conspiracy conference. It's going to be held up in Santa Clara on May 24th and 25th. Two-day conference. I'm going to be speaking. Jim Mars is going to be speaking. They're bringing in people from all across America talking about a conspiracy. Is there a conspiracy? Is there somebody who's withholding the truth from the American people? Is there a secret agenda behind everything going on and all the wars that we fight? Is there an organized effort to conceal the truth from the American people? Well, if you'd like to go to the conference, as they say, Memorial Day weekend, call them at 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. That's for the Conspiracy Conference, or go to the website. That's conspiracycon.com. And then, of course, if you'd like to know more about the setting up an Institute of the Constitution in your community to begin to train people about our living Constitution, call 410-760-6759. All you have to do is find a meeting place and get people to come. There are videos. There's all sorts of a book to tell you exactly what to do. The Institute of the Constitution, I recommend to you very strongly. Call 410-760-6759. And last, we've talked about Alamax in the past. Alamax is the active ingredient in garlic. It's called allicin. It's what has been found to bring down the blood pressure and bring down the cholesterol levels and thin the blood, and seems to have beneficial effects as far as your immunity is concerned. Anyway, if you'd like to get Alamax, call 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. I used it all last winter, and everybody else was coming down with colds, and I didn't. And there was a study out of Great Britain that shows that its use of allicin, or this product, Alamax, on a regular basis, significantly lowered the incidence of upper respiratory infections. So, and then, of course, we want to mention, if you would like to get yourself a water filter, a Big Berkey water filter, why these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. They have the ceramic filters in them, and you can get special post filters to filter out the fluoride. Now, of course, this is an excellent product that's been used for missionaries for many years. You can actually clean the filters over and over again, so they'll last a very, very long time. But, of course, ordinarily, they're $279. They're available here for $239 plus shipping, and you'll get a free video or a free 4-tape set if you buy them through us. But the Big Berkey is not available in either California or Iowa. But if you're interested in learning more, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com or call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Doug Rocky, and of course, Doug Rocky, he was with the military for 26 years, and you were just saying that so many of the people, the Gulf War veterans, are ill. You were beginning to tell us that although the Defense Department says, well, there are about 20,000 people ill, what does the Veterans Administration say?
In a report issued on September 10th of 2002, the United States Department of Veterans Affairs acknowledged that there were over 221,000 sons and daughters of America that were sick and ill and injured as a consequence of duty during the Persian Gulf era. Over 221,000. And they officially acknowledge over 10,000 are dead. Now, that's a substantial number difference from the 767 casualties that is listed in the World Almanac or the Department of Defense wanted to acknowledge to.
All right, fine. And, of course, they don't want the information to get out. My understanding is most of the Gulf War veterans, first Gulf War veterans, were either forced to leave the military because of illness, or so many of them just got out because they were so furious. Is that true?
Absolutely. And what has happened, we need to understand that all of the what we call the Gulf War illness of all these people injured and sick today, this is a whole combination. It's a combination of chemical and biological munitions that the United States gave to Iraq prior to the Gulf War, and that we then blew up in place, and a combination of pesticide exposures, a combination of all the immunizations that they were given, a combination of exposures to oil well fires, a combination to all... Are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
A combination of all the toxic industrial chemicals that were released and destroyed when we blew up all the infrastructure, and obviously a combination of the uranium munitions exposure. So we're looking at war as a toxic wasteland. And what happened is the soldiers did not have either the respiratory or skin protection required to take care of themselves. And they got exposed and they got sick. And they're dying like flies.
All right, fine. And of course, we're going to see the same thing, I fear, after the release of all the depleted uranium in Baghdad is going to have a profound and terrible effect on the Iraqi civilians. But they're not telling the American people that. After all, we went there to Iraq to rescue the people. Well, let's go to Richard, who's calling in, or Roger is calling in from Allentown. Roger, you have a question or comment?
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. And if you could deliberately ignore just for a few seconds the nuclear reactivity, because I want to come back to that. If you could just, if you can speak to the relative chemical inertness or reactivity with other substances, and of course that would bear on ability to chelate that stuff out of the system.
Now, what are you talking about specifically? You're talking
about uranium, the uranium, whether oxidized or in its raw form. Could you speak to that?
Well, I'm not a physician. The physicians that work on this are Dr. Asif Durakovich and some of the other ones. And what they have found out, or what we know just from reading, is that if you find out what the exposure is early enough, you can use chelation therapy to try and remove some of the uranium. The problem we have is the uranium is both inhaled, ingested, and absorbed, and gets into a wound. And what happens then is you've got about the uranium after an impact, you have about 43% is soluble, and 57% is insoluble. So the insoluble fraction is just going to sit wherever it's lodged, either in the lung or in the tissue, and irradiate forever. Okay? The soluble fraction is going to be distributed and deposited all over the body and just cause terrible health effects.
All right. Now, of course, this predisposes people to getting leukemia and other cancers, as well as decreasing their immune system.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at all the adverse health and environmental effects at the individuals that work at the U.S. Department of Energy plants in Paducah, Kentucky, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Portsmouth, Ohio, I was just out to New York over the weekend, and up in Albany, New York, they had the National Lead Plant where they were using, machining uranium components, and all the health and adverse health effects out there. And in fact, at the National Lead Plant, totally confirmed, the uranium that was released from the plant went up to 26 miles in sufficient quantities to cause health effects.
All right, fine. Roger, we're going to have to go to a break. So I appreciate so much your calling, and we'll be back in just a moment. Okay, and so we're going to have to take a moment here, and we'll be right back with Doug Brockie. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to mention, of course, there is another water filter that is available. It's called, well, this is Dr. Stan. Do you ever... And, of course, the Berkey Light is available in all states except for the state of Iowa. So the Berkey Light is available if you're living here on the West Coast. And, of course, this is a clear plastic filter. It's very similar to the Big Berkey, except it's got a different filter system. This actually purifies the water rather than filtering it. And, of course, the Berkey... it's called a Berkey Light. It's $199 in contrast to the $239 for the Big Berkey. Now, you can get a Berkey Light with all sorts of lights underneath it. That's an extra $60. But we got ourselves a regular Berkey Light, and we're very, very happy with it. These two filters will last for at least 2 years with a lot of use, and 3-4 years. Each filter will run through about 2,000 gallons of water. And, of course, they really take out almost all the toxic chemicals and MTBE and certainly the various types of organophosphates and certainly the bacteria. And they've reduced them to a point where you just can't find them at all. So if you'd be interested in getting a Berkey Light at $199, and, of course, if you buy it through us, why, you'll get either a video or a 4-tape set that we produced, and simply give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And, of course, you can go up onto our website at radioliberty.com, see the pictures of them. If you need to take the fluoride out, specifically the fluoride, of course, then you need to get a Big Berkey and get the post filters. Hopefully before long they're going to have post filters for the Berkey Light as well. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website and get the pictures, understand what you're getting, and I think that you'll be very, very happy. And if you've got a lot of chemicals in your water and you want water that tastes good, well, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Doug Rocky. And, of course, Doug, what happened, of course, when you began pointing out that there really was no safe way to handle this depleted uranium? Didn't you put together some sort of a training film for the military?
Well, I had specific responsibilities I put together for the military. I put together basically two training films, approximately 15 minutes in length each. One of them was specifically dealing with the basic awareness of what the health and environmental effects are and how to safely operate uranium munitions. And the other training film was very specifically how to clean up uranium contamination. We also put together that I worked on another training film on how to use Geiger counters and radiacs to detect radioactive contamination. And then a fourth film that I worked on dealt with how to repair equipment as far as, you know, the mechanics and everybody to repair equipment hit by uranium munitions. I also put together about a 40-hour training program that dealt with all aspects of this, and then I put together the environmental cleanup procedures, which are now Army Regulation 700-48, on what do you do once you have contamination all over the place. So it was a rather extensive program that took me 15 months to accomplish. Once we got it all done, and we reached the conclusion that you can't safely use uranium munitions, that you have to clean up all the contamination, and you have to provide medical care for all, I want to repeat, all DU casualties, not just U.S. friendly fire or the recovery team, we became persona non grata real rapidly.
All right, fine. So what happened then? Did that put an end to your military career?
Well, no, I'm still in the military as a reserve officer. But it resulted in loss of jobs. It resulted in IRS audits. It resulted in my house being ransacked. It resulted in...
And wait a minute, you mean somebody broke into your home to take things out?
Multiple times.
Multiple times. So this is the pattern of harassment they do with American citizens here in the name of fighting terrorism or whatever. You know, they do this with American citizens who are trying to warn the American people. You mean you've actively been harassed by our government for trying to get the truth out?
Absolutely. From bullets through the window to direct threats to cease and desist. Military officers in uniform telling me to stop trying to get medical care and environmental cleanup completed. Absolutely. And then most recently, the Deputy Secretary of Defense wrote a letter, an article in the Miami Herald, and stated that I didn't do any of the work and that none of us were sick. And all of the government's own documents totally contradict it. What is totally astonishing is that the White House and the Department of Defense continue to state that the warnings about health and environmental effects of uranium munitions are Iraqi propaganda. All of the warnings are from their experts within the military, and the warnings go back that I can document as far back as October of 1943.
And so basically many, many people in the military tried to get the information out, and of course their warnings have been silenced.
Absolutely. So many tremendously fine scientists and engineers and doctors within the military and outside of the military that have tried to get the warning out. But what this is about is we found out that there's no safe level of radiation exposure. There's no safe level of exposure to a heavy metal toxin. There is no safe level of exposure to all of the consequences, the environmental contamination of war. And as a consequence, not only are, you know, over 221,000 America's finest sons and daughters now permanently disabled, but we're looking at thousands from all our coalition nations, and close to 2 million Iraqis have serious health effects.
No, no, of course, you're speaking of from the first Gulf War?
Correct.
All right, fine. Now, my understanding is that there's been a lot of illness over there in Kuwait as well. Have you heard that?
Absolutely. And what's happening already now in Gulf War II is we're already seeing respiratory and skin rashes. We've had unpredictable deaths of individuals. For a good example, the NBC News guy that just died. You know, he was 39 years old, and they died over there. And that has gone on and on.
No, but of course, they said he died of a heart attack.
Well, supposedly they said he died of an embolism.
Oh, an embolism, okay.
You know, I mean, there's no way in combat, with combat medical capabilities, that you would know that. But he sure was in a whole lot of contamination because he had been reporting it back, and you could physically watch him on television where he's in there with broken, inadequate respiratory and skin protection in contaminated areas.
All right, then this is going to have, as far as you're concerned, a tremendous impact on the Iraqi population. We went, of course, to rescue from the wicked Saddam Hussein.
Absolutely. I mean, that's already happening. The, you know, International Red Cross, Doctors Without Borders, and God bless them, Voices in the Wilderness, have been in there trying to do things a long time. Unable to do it. The health and environmental effects on Iraq after Gulf War I were devastating. And nothing was cleaned up and medical care wasn't prepared. And that was part of the sanctions that were deliberately put in place to, you know, oust Saddam Hussein.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, you have a website, and I was on that website today. Why don't you go ahead and get the name of the website out there, the address, so people will know how to get in touch with it.
Okay, it's not my actual website. I don't have one. This is where other people are putting information up, okay? And the Trap Rock Peace Center that's up in Woolman Hill.
That's
in
the
Massachusetts.
Trap Rock Peace Center, is that right?
Correct. They're an excellent organization. They've been trying to help. They've worked with Scott Ritter, myself. They've been working with lots of individuals to get the truth and information out. And their website is www.traprock.com. TRAPROCKPEACE.org.
TRAPROCKPEACE.org. Okay, fine.
Correct. And then another one is the National Gulf War Resource Center's website, and that's www.ngwrc.org. And then obviously you can also go to the CDC website, www.cdc.gov.
No, do they have anything up there on the depleted uranium?
Yeah, they'll have some there, but what they had was a conference that we did on the Gulf War Illness Conference.
Mm-hmm.
I was appointed to the Center for Disease Control by directive of Congress. And we had a conference in the end of February and the beginning of March of 1999, where we had extensive discussions about this, and you should be able to find some of this information or a reference to it. What we have seen all over is the work that we did was real field work. We had real health effects. We're working in real contamination with explosives going off all around us. And that research doesn't fit what the scientific community calls the laboratory research, or what's called peer-reviewed literature publication. And so you don't see anything in there. If you go to the U.S. Department of Defense's website and depleted uranium, you won't find anything in there, any reports in there about the depleted uranium assessment team project when we cleaned it up after Gulf War I, and you won't find any information in there regarding the depleted uranium project where we developed all the training, education, and environmental cleanup procedures. It's not there anymore.
I mean, was it there for a time?
I'm not sure that it was even there other than within some of the Army websites when we were doing all the work. And again, the reason it's not there is because conclusions I reached as director were contradictory to the famed Los Alamos memorandum that I received in March of 1991.
All right. In other words, you're not allowed to disagree with your superiors.
You're not allowed to disagree with anybody. And the other thing, too, the Los Alamos memorandum that I received in March of 1991 was very clear. There are health and environmental effects, a lot of questions about health and environmental effects of uranium munitions. However, we must be always able to use those in combat. So when you prepare your reports, why?
Is that what they essentially said to you?
Absolutely, and that's happened over and over again. The same thing happened in 1992 when we were tasked at the United States Army and Environmental Policy Institute to do a major report and study on uranium munitions. And that 1992 directive to do that study, it took us 3 years to complete that study, but one of the primary findings of that U.S. Army study was the toxicity of uranium munitions cannot be changed.
And, of course, they're not going to stop using these weapons, and as a result, they're going to continue not only killing the enemy, they're going to kill our own boys.
Absolutely, because you got to remember, when we go to war, the purpose is to kill and destroy. The United Nations and Karen Parker and also the European Union years ago have ruled that uranium munitions are an illegal weapon. They're a weapon of mass destruction, and they absolutely are. They're indiscriminate. The contamination remains forever, basically, over 4.5 billion years unless it's physically removed. And the effects on this stuff, it doesn't matter on who goes in there. In a normal weapon, you've got to kill the enemy and get that done, and you have to be able to clean up the contamination. With uranium contamination, you can't do it.
Well, of course, then what did you do over in the Gulf? Did you just get dozers in there, dip deep pits and dump everything in there and hope that nobody would ever uncover it, or what?
Well, the 24 vehicles we brought back to the United States, we basically scraped those up, put those on flatbed semi-trucks, and brought those back to Barnwell, South Carolina, U.S. Department of Energy Savannah River site. And then a multi-million-dollar facility, the only facility of its kind in the world. It took them 3 years to clean up those 24 vehicles for disposal.
Now, these were what? These were tanks?
U.S. Abrams tanks and Bradley fighting vehicles.
Okay. And how did
then everything else that was left in Iraq and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, it was just left laying there. The highway of death outside of Basra is an environmental and toxic wasteland. United States Congressman James McDermott, numerous individuals from the United Nations, from all over, other independent scientists, have continuously gone over there, and they're still measuring the contamination. It's all over there. And people are sick all around the region.
I see, but we're not hearing about that here in America, I suppose, for the same reason that you've been harassed and shot at and threatened and your house has been trashed. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think this sounds like an absurd story, I've heard this from people a scientist up in Canada who was trying to get the truth out about fluoride, and they finally harassed him to the point where he finally said, I'm never going to speak on it again. So basically they're trying to intimidate you like they have so many other people, but you haven't been intimidated. Why not?
I got a direct order to clean up the uranium contamination mess signed by the chief of staff from Central Command on behalf of Norman G. Schwarzkopf, the commanding general. By name assignment. And then I was assigned in 94 and 95 as the depleted uranium project director to clean it up. I'm very simple. I'm a warrior. I'm an Army officer. I'm a scientist. I'm a teacher. And I'm going to finish my job.
All right. And so, of course, you're out there talking and you're doing talk radio and you're trying to get the information out. What sort of response are you getting when you're talking to talk show hosts? Do they believe you or are you getting much coverage on talk radio?
Well, yeah, we are getting more and more in the newspapers and in talk radio. You know, the major media is not picking it up because it's so controlled from the Department of Defense. But what we do is once the individuals see the reports, see the documents, hear the story, they do some research on their own, see the health effects really in their own communities from things, they start waking up. It's an education process such that individuals reach the point and say, wait a minute. The United States took hundreds of tons of radioactive waste, they threw it in somebody else's backyard, and they walked away and refused to provide medical care for anybody that was exposed, and they refused to do the environmental cleanup. I can't think of any community, anybody in this higher nation here, that will allow even 10 pounds of solid uranium radioactive waste to be thrown in their backyard. And yet we do it all over the world. We did it in Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait in 1990 and 91. We did it in the Balkans in 94 and 95. We did it in Okinawa in 95 and 96. We went back and did it in Vieques, Puerto Rico for sure in February of 1999, and all evidence is we've been doing it there for a long time before and many times since. And then we went over, we shot up the Balkans again in 99. And then we shot up Afghanistan with uranium munitions. In a report that just came out, and I just read it earlier today, and I've known this already before, is that the Afghan refugees are excreting uranium in the rates of 5,000 to 7,000 times the permissible level because the United States used uranium munitions in Afghanistan. And now we just shot the whole heck out of it over in Gulf War II in Iraq April 14th. The Deputy Secretary of Defense in charge of all this, Dr. Michael Kilpatrick, stated specifically the United States is not going to provide medical care for DU casualties, is not going to clean up the environment.
By UK, you mean certainly depleted uranium, right?
Well, the United Kingdom...
Oh, UK, also UK casualties then, okay.
Correct. Now, just recently, in the last week or so, the United Kingdom, Great Britain, has formally stated that they will provide medical care for DU casualties, and they have also stated that they would participate in the uranium cleanup.
Now, right now,
the United Nations, Pekka Haavisto, the expert for the United Nations, told the United States back in March that they needed to clean up all the contamination in the Balkans, and he also told them to go and clean up the mess over in Iraq again. And then also the British Royal Society, Dr. Brian Spratt, has told them to provide medical care and clean up the mess.
Well, now, what happened to our boys that certainly were over in Kosovo and our boys that were stationed in Bosnia? Have many of them had something comparable to Gulf War illness?
Absolutely, and they call it Gulf War syndrome, too.
And what about the civilians over there that we went there to rescue? You know, we wanted to stop this this war, and so we went over there and bombed everything. What happened?
Well, again, we bombed everything and released not only uranium munitions, but all of the other toxic industrial chemicals. And there's cancers, there's birth defects, they're sick, there's respiratory rashes, kidney problems, the whole host of what we're seeing. I mean, again, that's very well documented. We've got leukemias that developed all over the place. And again, when you go back into radiation safety history, at Oak Ridge and Paducah, the downwinders, okay, I mean, leukemias and cancers are all there.
Well, now, of course, we heard that the England, I think it was, or NAFTA nations, but NATO nations, was very concerned of the high incidence of leukemia among their soldiers who were in Bosnia. And then somebody did a study, and they said, oh, well, it's no incidence, no higher than the incidence, in the general community of soldiers. Well, what's the answer to that? Did they simply lie, as they always do?
Absolutely. I mean, it's totally astonishing. And when we have the Deputy Secretary of Defense going on radio and TV or going in the Miami Herald, in State Inver specifically, those of us were exposed, there's no health effects in those of us were exposed, you know, during Gulf War One. They've gone on and stated specifically there's no cancers. And yet friendly fire casualties have tumors, okay, that were removed surrounding the shrapnel. And then also our team members and many others have developed cancers, just like the workers at Paducah and Oak Ridge, Four Corners in Colorado, out in Nevada, and all over the place, wherever this stuff has been used or manufactured.
Well, Dr. Rocky, Doug, we're out of time, and I want to thank you so very much for being with us. You're going to be with us the end of the week on our evening program. So thank you so much for being with us. Keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you off the air.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, just say this can't be true. You better go and start doing your homework, because you're not going to hear the truth from the major controlled media here in the United States. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 when they went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and first I want to tell you about some of the other things we carry. We carry something called Phonopoly, and basically it's a program aimed at teaching children how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. And in about 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that's been done by the government schools in dumbing down your child so they would never be able to read properly. Phonopoly is a board game played like Monopoly. Actually, it's five board games, two bonus games. We throw a couple of books in. Most of these programs are $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $800,000. This is $139.95. And in 16 hours, you can actually reprogram the mind so they'll begin to read phonetically. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Phonopoly. And then, of course, we ask you to consider getting the Miracle 2 soap products, which we carry. Now, we can't make any medical claims for them, but we can tell you that a lot of our listeners certainly think they're wonderful. They've used the soap and the moisturizing soap, the neutralizer, the lotion and the gel, and they're all available at a special reduced price for an introductory offer by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And I will tell you, an awful lot of people that use this. In fact, our major clientele are the repeat customers or the people who've gotten it from a friend, and they, of course, want it again. So the Miracle 2 soap products certainly are available by calling 1-800-5-44-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we hope, of course, that many of you out there will seriously consider getting my video. It's called Iraq, The Untold Story. There's a syllabus that goes with it. You can get the syllabus alone, the video alone, or get them both together. That's Iraq, The Untold Story, the information you need to know. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and once again, I would point out, if you'd like to find out about getting a Big Berkey, and they're $239, or the Berkey Light without the special, all the fancy lights on them, you can get the lights if you want to, but if you want to get just a straight Berkey Light, that's $199, and either one you get from us, while you'll get, of course, a video or a four-tape set that we've produced. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, if you'd like to actually see them, see what you're going to be getting, go up to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. In fact, you want to go there anyway to see our website. You'll find all of my newsletters up there. You'll find some of the essays we've written. You'll find our archive programs, certainly going back many weeks. And, of course, you can link to the other networks we do our programming on at RadioLiberty.com, because that's the strength of our ministry, is bringing you certainly live radio 5 hours every day. And we do hope that many of you out there will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, when you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you get our 4 best tapes of the month, you get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you help us finance our efforts as on now over 55 outlets every week, are the message of truth. The message you're not going to get from ABC, CBS, and NBC is gotten out across America. And so, of course, when you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you get our 4 best tapes of the month, you get our monthly newsletter, but, of course, anything we make on that goes to finance the radio programs, which I hope you'll listen to, I hope you'll recommend to others, I hope you enjoy. And then, of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, the March newsletter tells you the true story of what really happened, why we went into Iraq. And, of course, we'll give you the website of put together by Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Jeb Bush, back in 1997, where they were planning this whole thing. This whole incredible crusade in the Middle East was planned, of course, as part of a crusade to create American empire. And, of course, this is going to have terrible, terrible ramifications because, of course, there's going to be a blowback. And terrible things can happen to America as a result of this adventurism. And 25 people put together this plan. Get my newsletter. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Request our March newsletter. And then try to prove me wrong. Go to their website. We give you the sources of reference where you can go and find out if it's true. Because if it's true, you have a moral obligation to be involved. And, of course, if you are not involved, the repercussions, the terrible things which I fear are going to happen, will be on your hands, not on mine. Your blood will be on your hands. And remember in Ezekiel 3 and 33, we're told to be watchmen. Well, I hope you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and become a watchman. But you're going to have to get educated first. You're going to have to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to, or get the Brotherhood of Darkness special with the video, the audio tape, and the book for $29.95. And I promise you, when you've read the book and see the video, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. So you can get that, of course, by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, because they should be leading this truly spiritual battle. We ask you, of course, to pray for our boys who are overseas. We ask you to pray for revival, because if America doesn't return to God, God is going to turn his back on this country. And then lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry and my staff, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very good.
Who called and wanted to talk about ancient orange?